Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Coming up later this hour on Air Talk, we're going to take a look at how family life has changed during the pandemic. So many families felt their lives were overscheduled between all the kids, different activities, sporting events, lessons they might be taking. And of course, those moved online or were done away with. So I want to ask our listeners whose lives have changed in that way, what, if anything, of that slower pace would you like to keep post-pandemic? We'll hear from listeners in just a few minutes. But right now, we're joined by Wall Street Journal staff reporter Vanessa Fermans, author of the just-published piece, Bosses Still Aren't Sure Remote Workers Have Hustle. And that despite the fact that productivity has been so strong with remote workers. Vanessa, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So your article really about sort of how this perception might even linger post-pandemic, that people who are working from home, they're not doing as productive a job as those who are coming into the office. Do you think that that view is still being held by many bosses, even with the high productivity this past year?
I do. And there have been a few notable public remarks made by CEOs in recent weeks that got a lot of attention. But you see it also in the survey research when you look at, there have been a lot of surveys of managers, bosses, CEOs, and despite the success that we've seen largely with remote work and working from home, this great experiment the country's been through this whole year, there are doubts about the dedication, the commitment, the ambition of remote workers. And I think that's going to be entering a very interesting phase as we go to reopening offices in the coming months.
One of the points you make, which I think is a really good one, is that many of the people said it's tougher for younger employees because it's harder to make an impression at a distance. When you see the young employee who has hustle, I'll use the term you use in the story, it's so much more evident in person. And for a younger employee, it can be tougher for that individual to get recognized in that way when they're at home.
Yes, I think, this raises a really interesting question and challenge, at companies that are still going to have largely remote workforces or what a lot of companies are doing is going toward a hybrid model where, at least for the foreseeable future, people will be in the office part-time, not full-time, and obviously some people will be in the office more than others. For younger workers, for newer employees, this has been a question throughout the pandemic, and that is how do they assimilate to the corporate culture? And especially for more junior employees, how do they learn from their peers? How does their career development fare when they've been largely remote? It's a different story for people who have been working at a company, say, for years, and then they go, as we have these past 15, 16 months, then they go remote. They have a little more to go on in their relationships with each other and in terms of understanding the culture, understanding the job. It's a little different for newer employees, and it presents a challenge for management.
Yeah. And you also point out that for people who are socially extroverted, working at home has undoubtedly been more difficult, not having the social aspect of being in the office physically present with coworkers. And one of the things I was thinking is if companies are going to give the option to their employees, whether they come back or not, or what percentage they come back, you could have a point where the extroverts are the ones who choose to return, more introverted employees maybe don't, and that could put a further burden on the more introverted homeworking employee, because the extrovert almost by definition is going to be getting a lot more attention because often they carry their own spotlights as they move around. So, I wonder how companies are going to deal with that.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. I mean, exploring it along the extrovert, introvert, dividing line. What I find interesting is you've seen a lot of anecdotal research, but also, again, more survey, more systematic looks into this. Introverts, I mean, maybe extroverts are more clear cut about where they want to be. I think introverts are actually all over the map on this. Some introverts really thrive, of course, being at home, not dealing with so much outside stimulus to distract them. Other introverts I've seen say, actually, because they don't have automatically that stimulus, or they almost need to be drawn into it, so they prefer an office environment. I think that's an interesting
slide.
Where I see the more concerning or the divisions that companies need to watch out for is if we're going to see remote and office work and office and remote workers turn into two different classes of workers, well, who are going to likely be in the more remote workforce? Is it going to be, say, working mothers who we know tend, even more than working fathers, tend to crave and want and often need that work flexibility to make family life and professional life all run smoothly? That's going to be a big question. And, you know, you've already seen some companies say they're going to start tracking that. They're going to start tracking, well, how do promotions look among our largely remote workforce versus our workforce that goes into the office more often? But I don't know if all companies are going to be watching that so closely.
Yeah, such a good point. Vanessa Fermans, Wall Street Journal reporter, joining us. Her piece, Bosses Still Aren't Sure Remote Workers Have Hustle. That's what we're talking about. But I'd like to hear from you, your thoughts about this and how you see it potentially playing out with your employer. If, for example, you're someone who wants to continue working full-time or part-time at home, how do you think that's going to play out within the culture of your organization? If you're someone who wants to get back to work, but not everybody else is going to be there, at least not full-time, how is that going to affect the work environment? And if you're an employer, you have your own business or you work in a larger firm, I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on this and how you think it'll work to try and treat equitably those that are working at home and those that are coming in to the office. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Angela writes on the page, my current contract gig started in March of last year. I was there for 5 days. Wasn't trained because of the normal time it takes to set up a new employee, and the pandemic was beginning. We went remote on my fifth day. Over a year later, I've proven myself, learned the job from afar. I don't want or need to go back. That's Angela. So she's an example of someone who was one of those newer employees, but who was able to get up to speed even without the typical onboarding done by her employer. Tim writes on the page, I have to be on site for the company I work for, and I'm finding myself becoming frustrated at having to collaborate with those who are able to work from their couches at home. I'm not saying I wish everyone had to return, but nonetheless, I miss face-to-face collaboration. That's Tim writing on the AirTalk page, 866-893-KPECC. Vanessa, I think Tim speaks for a lot of people who, you know, if they're ones who have to be on site, they're essential workers, have been looking forward to their colleagues returning, but not all of them, will necessarily be there.
Right. It's going to be very interesting. I mean, especially in offices where everybody has been home throughout much of the pandemic, and now some companies are ordering everybody back simply for those reasons, so that it's equitable or it's just an even playing field. Other companies are giving people the choice, so that's where you're going to see a lot of those divisions play out.
And speaking of choice, you know, because we're in a kind of weird job market. I don't ever remember one where we had all these employers looking for employees and at the same time such a high unemployment rate. Who knows if that's going to continue? But it would seem that for many employers, given their difficulty hiring right now, that if employees are saying, hey, I want, you know, one day a week or whatever working from home, it's going to be tough for employers to say no, won't it?
I think it will. I mean, we're going to see how the job market shakes out over the next several months. I mean, what we clearly are seeing is companies are struggling to hire people in, you know, low wage jobs, the kind of jobs that are service jobs, you know, in stores, in restaurants, that kind of thing, retail, hospitality. I think we'll see more clearly what's happening in the white collar world over the next several months, that you haven't seen so many of those pressures, but you are seeing some. And what's creating a lot of pressure is that, you know, after 15 months in this pandemic, there are a lot of I'm just going to start talking about the office world just to keep things focused. But a lot of people have said, you know, I've had a revelation. I've had an epiphany about the kind of life I want to live and where I want to live it and how I want to also manage my career. And a lot of people have decided, yes, I don't want to live near my office anymore. I want the freedom. I want the flexibility. Some employees want to make that a condition for their job going forward or a new job that they take. So, you know, when so many employees are saying in surveys that this is how they plan to, you know, that they would quit a job over this, or they would make this the deal breaker for accepting a job, I think employers are going to have to listen. They won't be able to dictate their office plans totally on their own.
Vanessa Fuhrman, staff reporter of The Wall Street Journal, author of the recent article, Bosses Still Aren't Sure Remote Workers Have Hustle. Vanessa, do these companies have good ways of measuring individual employee productivity? And I wonder if they can effectively do that, they might be seeing that for some employees who are neurodivergent or once maybe for whom the office is somewhat of a social distraction are actually doing much better. Their output is much greater working from home. Do they have a way of accurately determining that?
You know, there are all sorts of ways of determining it. You know, first of all, it depends on the company. You know, I'm in the journalism business, so our company can very well see, you know, how many stories are you writing or how many stories are you editing. Other companies measure it. You know, they actually hire or they use productivity software to help measure how productive their employees are. These are kind of imperfect metrics because it's, you know, it's based on how much emailing you're doing or how many, you know, Zoom meetings you're logging, that sort of thing. We all know that doesn't necessarily mean productivity. It can often mean distraction. You know, on the whole, people have been very productive. The whatever metric has been used, and it's fluctuated some, companies have been pleasantly surprised how productive workforces have been over the pandemic. And what's interesting is that, you know, people have been doing that over, you know, while they're juggling tremendous challenges. I mean, they're juggling childcare, they're juggling online schooling if they're working parents. Certainly a lot of other issues throughout this pandemic that people are dealing with. So in a way, we haven't even really seen how well remote work can work once you remove all of those challenges.
Let's talk with Heather in Whittier. I understand that you're a community college professor and with a very long commute, as I understand. So, Heather, what did you find from working remotely, and are you willing to go back in person full time?
Well, I'm full-time faculty at Santa Monica College, so I don't know that I really have a choice. I'm not going to not go back if I have to. But I've been significantly more engaged than I ever was in the past because I have three kids, one of whom was born in the pandemic in March. And so I'm not having to commute for 2.5 hours every day. I've joined more committees. I've been more productive. I'm doing an independent study with another student. I've just been so much more engaged in a way that I've always wanted to be, but couldn't because of the commute and the kids.
Yeah. And so, but you probably will have to go back and juggle all those things that you do as a mom and a professor and everything else. Heather, thank you so much. Alan in Glendale. Alan, real quickly, your thought on this.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I've been listening to the conversation, and it's basically about how productive employees are, but I don't hear anybody talking about the impact on the employer and the boss. And by that, I mean, when you go into the office and there's nobody there, what's your job? I think there's an awful lot of people who want to, in supervisory positions, who want to exercise their authority, want to do their monitoring and their supervision, but it's extremely difficult to do that if you're on Zoom. And I think that people took those jobs so that they could do them in that way, and therefore they have an interest in maintaining the status quo rather than to see their employees, you know, only on a screen somewhere and not be able to walk into an office, you know, on the spur of the moment and see what somebody's doing.
All right, Alan, thanks very much. I appreciate it. Well, and you also have people who are particularly skilled as managers who are having to learn whole new techniques of how to manage with a workforce that's working remotely instead of in person. Alan, I appreciate it very much. Vanessa, thank you for joining us and talking about your piece. It certainly spurred a lot of conversation. We have comments coming in on our AirTalk page as well as to Twitter. We appreciate it very much. It's been great to talk with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Joining us, Vanessa Furman, who is staff reporter at the Wall Street Journal, author of Bosses, Still Aren't Sure Remote Workers Have Hustle. Also have a listener comment from Libby, who tweets at AirTalk, balance is the answer. 2 days in, 3 days remote. Have your in-person meetings, establish goals, then let people work on their own timeline. That's Libby tweeting at AirTalk. I want to hear from you right now because it's just you and me talking for our final segment. If your family's lifestyle changed dramatically because of the pandemic, when you weren't taking your kid around to athletic practices and games, not taking them to performances and rehearsals, not taking them to all kinds of play dates and all, are you looking at keeping any of that less hectic life as we go into a post-pandemic future? And how do you intend to try and do that? We're at 866-893-KPCC. Please call now because I need to get listener calls right after our break. 866-893-KPCC. What sorts of changes wrought by the pandemic to your family are you hoping that you can keep in terms of the pacing of your life post-pandemic? We'll be back in 90 seconds.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAS.com/sweeps.